Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Welcome to the war room. We got Dez, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the hot block commander.
How you wanna end up 1 or 2 hour show to keep the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level? Bold with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine and sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with 5 nights at the round table. 5 Philly guys, diversified and educated.
Welcome back to the Roundtable, sports fans. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan. I'm here with my partners, Jimmy Williams and B. Austin. It's NFL training camp time, so make sure you join us in the JW Philly Realty chat room right now at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom, or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports to join in today's conversations. You can also call us directly when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline. In about 20, 25 minutes, that number is 323-410-0012. But before we get started, as usual, we like to give some shout-outs. Make sure you listen to Roy and Chris on the Broad Street Line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. Also, check out Brandon and Daniel on Sports Trap Radio Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, also on Blog Talk Radio. But don't worry, if you can't catch them live, you can hear these guys on all of our other partner shows at War Room Sports. blogspot.com. In addition, don't forget to catch us in syndication 3 times on Fridays on newvibradio.com. That's 7 a.m., 1 p.m., and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And on Sundays and Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on fatsradio.com. But right now, first we're going to see what the brothers are up to, and then we're going to see what happened this week while y'all were on the grind. Fellas, happy Thursday.
Yo. Shout out to all the listeners. It's from the Paul Bunyan of Sports Talk Radio.
Jimmy, what up with you? You good?
Ain't nothing, man. Yeah, I'm good, man. Just coming from the Poppy store. You know, let me get a bag of chips and something to drink before we go in there. I'm good money, though.
That ain't what I cop at the Poppy
store. I know what I've been doing all day. Jimmy done put me on to the Google Play, listen
all
joint, whatever it's called. And, yeah,
it's a hip-hop lover's dream.
I'm hooked. I'm listening,
you know,
to everything.
They have an old school cat, so he probably downloaded all the old Dougie Fresh and EPMD.
Oh, you already hit it. I've been listening to EPMD for the past, like, 35 minutes.
Oh, you must have got on Google Play.
Yo, he the all-access junk, though, but Dev might be the biggest EPMD fan in the world, yo. Like, I don't know nobody who likes EPMD better than Dev.
Might be the only one left. I did listen to
you and the Thurman family.
Listen to Magna Garbage Holy Fail earlier.
Whoa, I ain't going.
Shout out to Adina. That's her joke. I just had to use that.
Yeah, we stole that from you, Adina.
Yeah, stole that.
Yeah, so, man. Hey, B. Austin, did you listen to Magna Carta yet, yo?
I had to cite it.
Magna Garbage Holy Fail? Yo, shout out to Adina. We love you. That pretty much speaks for it. It's 5 tracks.
It's like I told Dev earlier, yo, I just can't relate. My man talking Picasso's and French Villas, yo.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get a room on Carnival with a window, yo. I can't relate to all that other stuff. But anyway, man, let's just move on, man. Why you were on the grind?
No, 5 for 16 is a good 3-point percentage if you're playing a 4 to 5.
Okay, so I see what you're doing there. You're trying to bring it back to sports. All right.
Why
You on the grind is brought to you by DirecTV.
That's right.
If you like a better TV experience than cable has to offer, including the NFL Sunday Ticket, go to our website at warroomsports.com and click on the DirecTV logo. Football season is fast approaching, and you got to have the ticket so you can chop it up all online with us about football. All you red zone dudes, don't be trying to tell me what happened in the game because you're watching the red zone, yo. It ain't the same sandwich. Yo, in the words
same
of my man, yo, it ain't the same sandwich. Yo, and why you on the grind, a.k.a. the media takeout edition of the War Room, let's talk about some things, good gentlemen.
Brought to you by, brought to you by
your
wives,
battered ex-wives, and
ex-wives all over the world.
Yeah, let's first get into this story. D-Wade, his ex-wife's, you know, basically, you know, sat on the street and acted as if she was homeless to complain about the amount of money she was getting from one Dwayne Wade, and also the treatment of her by the court system. Did you guys happen to see this video? And if so, what were your thoughts?
I saw, not only did I see the video, I was aware of the divorce settlement, like, long ago. So this really was nuts to me. And I'm, as we all know, I'm not a big Dwayne Wade supporter. I think that he needs to come out of the closet and be clear about it in public. But this man is paying her a lot of money. A lot of money.
She was on the corner, though, B. Austin, like, talking about, you know, I'm homeless, and he hasn't paid his child support, but he has custody of the children. So I don't even get why he has to pay support. But his lawyer, James B. Pritikin, says that Wade has been paying his $25,000 a month in support fees regularly. So I guess that's, you know, out of
hold on, child support,
and everything.
There's an additional. But wait, they reached a settlement.
They reached a settlement where he's going to give her $5 million. And so I don't know if he's going to have to keep paying these support fees since he has custody of the kids. But, you know, we've long heard, and, you know, a lot of people heard Dwayne Wade, his camp say it, and people were just making him out to be the bad guy. You know, you got married early, ended up being a superstar that you didn't know you were going to be, so you moved on. But we've long heard that she had mental problems, and, you know, things like this kind of supports what his camp has been saying all along. So, Jimmy, think she's a little wacko?
I mean, here's the thing. Let's just put it this way. If she isn't, she's not helping herself, because she looked very mentally disturbed, you know, with what she was doing. There's a lot of ways she could have got attention. I mean, you're D Wade's BM. You could have just called one of the gossip rags and got your story out there. That what you did was kind of extreme, and you don't help yourself, in my personal opinion. Because I couldn't even take her serious, yo. Your son was trash.
And her hair
the other side of that is how embarrassing her kids.
Yo, and shout out to what's the brother, T.J. Sotomayor, because he went in on her. Did y'all see that one?
He go in on all black women. Dude got a problem.
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole other story. But he killed her. Like, he put the Easter beat on and let her have it. But that was terrible, man. I just don't know if she's helping herself by, you know, acting in this manner. You know, it's ways to do things. And
I got a statement from the four letters, you know, because her name is Siobhan Funches Wade. The statement says Funches was arrested last year on misdemeanor charges of attempted child abduction, unlawful visitation, interference, and obstruction of a peace officer after an incident related to her visitation with the couple's sons. According to the Chicago Sun-Times, all the charges except obstruction of a peace officer were dismissed, and she faces a court date in September. And Wade's lawyer also said due to her unstable mental state, her visitation with the kids is going to be determined by the court. But he's breaking her off. He's breaking off $5 million in the settlement. But
all she's doing is giving away. That's because she got some. She know that she got some kind of dirt about him keeping her clothes or something. But in terms of what's going on, all she's doing is giving him more ammunition, man. That was just a crazy display. But anyway, let's get to another story real quick. MJ. And this is not our homie, Mike Jordan, you know, not him. The other MJ is set to have a vasectomy. Well, his vasectomy reverse, rather. Excuse me. He's going to have his vasectomy reverse because, you know, he just got married, and his new wife, I guess she wants children. And MJ once, you know, made the decision to get that vasectomy, but now he wants to please his wife. So he's going to have it reversed. Brother B. Austin, this is your hero. What's up with your man?
MJ whipped.
I mean, that was my statement. Like, that's my I don't condone Swiss cheesing your swizzle to begin with. I think that that's unmanly. But God bless him. God bless
you. You really have no response. Basically, you just took all that time to tell us you have no response. Dev.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was like 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, y'all could have cut me off. Y'all could have cut me off long ago.
what's your opinion of what MJ's doing, man? You think it's an honorable thing to, you know, try to please his wife, or you think MJ is crazy?
Probably a little bit of both, because the reason why I say it's a little bit honorable, because according to some of the stuff I read, it was a part of their deal to get married. You know, I don't want to make it sound like a business transaction, but she was like, you know, if we get married, I'm only 35 years old, I want some kids. So, I mean, if he is going to do that, then that just means he is being honorable and he's following through on his word. Now, on the other side, the crazy part, look, man, once it's done, it's done. And plus, you know, he's 50 years old, he has like 3 grown children. That should be something that he should possibly be able to get his wife-to-be at the time to understand. Like, if you're going to marry me, I'm 50, I got 3 grown kids, I got a vasectomy, I don't really want no more, but hey, I mean, love make you do strange things, so, you know, shout out to Mike for tying his tubes back up.
In our chat room, we have a comment saying that it's probably because she promised not to give him no education unless he reversed it, so Mike's trying to get the education. He's trying to get one of them scholarships. But, you know, I don't even know what to say about this. When you add in all those factors of him being 50, him having a vasectomy, him having grown children, I mean, Michael Jordan has the means to go buy a couple babies from somewhere. I mean, that's what all the other rich folks do. Let's go buy you some babies, yo. Get you a little Maddox or something. Anyway, let's move on, man. Let's talk about another scorned woman. Tim Duncan's, soon-to-be ex-wife, still currently his wife.
She's trying
to out him
strong.
As gay in his divorce proceedings and saying that he's taking care of a grown man who got a beard.
Ooh.
And, you know.
He said he got a beard.
So Tim Duncan got a, not only is he supposedly a cheater, according to her, but is with another grown man. Did you guys hear about the story, and what were your thoughts?
Yeah, man, they're saying that he's been involved in a gay relationship from way back in his Wake Forest days. Said the dude allegedly lived with Duncan and his wife the first 2 years of their marriage, and the source also claims that Tim Duncan bought this dude a home. See, now, it sounds kind of funny.
I believe.
Because if it's your homie, you know what I'm saying, and he's living with you for the first 2 years of your marriage, if he's that close to you that he's living with you and your wife, it doesn't, like, they added he bought this dude a home as if that's going to make it worse. Like, oh, that makes it believable. I mean, wouldn't your wife probably be like, look, your man can't live with us no more. So if he's your best friend, then do something about
it. I believe
it,
and I can almost prove that he is.
I haven't even addressed
that
yet. I'm just talking about the extra details that they're trying to throw in as if him buying him a home is going to make it more believable. If he's gay, you don't have to tell me, and he bought him a home. I mean, a lot of dudes buy.
Yo, Austin, you got the video.
So how
tape?
Can you prove
what kind of proof do you got? That's what I want to know.
I got the tape.
as a heterosexual male with an almost limitless income, can I ask you gentlemen what type of women would you marry, date, have coital exercise with?
Now, here's the question, though. How long was he with her, though?
It's part of my proof,
no,
man.
I see where you're going. Listen, I see where you're going, but my thing is, how long was he with her? Is it a DMX-type situation where she was with him when he was, like, you know, dirt poor?
No, man, we not talking. DMX got less money than us. We talking
about. That's not
about
what I'm saying,
him.
But you get what I'm saying, though. Like, is this something that he picked up after he already was, like, you know?
Oh, but Jimmy, even if you that level of baller, you know what's coming from, like, 10th grade. His wife.
Yeah, but what you do
like
is you put her in a place
like uncooked chicken in a dress.
So you're saying
no.
RG3 is gay too then?
Probably, quite possibly.
Because his chick kind of homely.
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
that's
possible.
Yeah, be honest.
But in RG's defense, the yams that he pursues outside of his situation are. Are light years different than what's in his situation.
So how do you know that's not the same for Tim just because he hadn't got caught yet?
You trying to say that his outside is grown as a grown-ass man. I mean, either that or that was like... But
his,
the story
he's
is
not
that
pursuing
she
yam. He's pursuing turnips.
Yo, Yeah, this story sounds to me like it could have been like that was his homie, like sort of like a TT situation from the game. You know what I'm saying? Where, you know,
it might be a situation where his wife might have even in her mind at one point questioned it, like, why are they so close? But now that they're getting divorced, you know, she needs all the ammunition she could get to get what she needs out of this divorce. So, you know, I don't put it past her just, you know, having an axe to grind to get as much money as possible. Because if we find out Tim Duncan was in an extramarital relationship, you know how that plays out in the court. And then to twist it a little even more and say that it was with a man who was living under our roof, come on, dude, the court's going to look at that even worse. So,
at one point, it was three grown-ass men living together.
Because of what she looks like.
Hey,
yeah.
Now Jimmy understands. See, exactly.
My point is, if it was one of those situations, if she was already there, he would just put her in her place, and he would go do him. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, if she'd been there, you know, you'd keep her around, and then you go do you.
Man, bro.
And if you go... And what you're doing,
his wife looks like his name is Tim.
Yo, she did like Jake Snake, but that's not the point, though. I'm just saying, listen, though. Anyway, let's move on, man, because y'all out of control right now. Let's talk about another situation, man. I want to see what you think about this. J.J. Redick, right? Here's how I'm going to preface this, man. I'm going to preface this like my man B. Austin. Because J.J. Redick, gave his ex-chick a contract. And according to B. Austin, he calls this the I know you saw me in and out of your house, but ain't no way she can have a baby out of her mouth contract. Where, you know, by contract, he wanted this young lady to have an abortion if, you know, she was, you know, to come up pregnant. What do you guys think about people putting this in the contract? You think it's something the athletes should do? Should they do that?
First of all, the contract was for 25 G's. It was 25 G's. And the girl is Vanessa Lopez, who allegedly was one of Shaq's mistresses before he got divorced. So here's how the story goes, B. Austin, because we got to get you, you know, since you like the slander cats, you know, I want to get your take on this one. So they had the abortion contract where he basically gave her $25,000. She had to sign this. He gave her $25,000 to have the abortion. And in the contract, he offered to maintain a relationship with her for a year after the abortion. So,
nice!
So, matter of fact, let me just read the statement. It said, Redick has agreed, this is from the contract, Redick has agreed that once Lopez has terminated said pregnancy and has provided medical proof of said termination satisfactory to Redick, including but not limited to direct access to Lopez's medical files and record of the clinic, practice, or hospital conducting the termination, and has submitted to a post-pregnancy examination by a doctor of Redick's choice to confirm both the prior pregnancy and his termination, Redick and Lopez shall attempt to establish and maintain a social and/or dating relationship between themselves for a period of 1 year, noted the agreement in part signed by both Redick and Lopez. Yo, what is wrong with J.J. Redick?
No, I want y'all to know that I've always stuck up for J.J., man. And I like
you
more.
So this is justifying you sticking up for his b-ball game, yo? Yo, shout out to my man Casey Mack. Leroy is in the chat room. He said that's him putting that good Duke education to use, man.
Yo, he duped her out. Hit her with the Duke game.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say to that, yo.
Farther, it says, in the event Redick decides in his sole discretion that he is unable or unwilling to establish and or maintain the relationship and provides written notice of this decision to Lopez, he shall pay Lopez the sum of $25,000 and no dollars, I mean, you know, no cents, settlement payment within 30 days of the delivery of the written notice, the agreement noted. Yo, so he's basically telling her, if I can't, you got to get this abortion. We can date for a year, but if I can't make it for that whole year, I will give you 30 days notice, and I will give you $25,000.
Yo.
I've heard about relationships as business deals, but this is taking it very, very, very literally.
But you know what? My thing is, he got this from somebody. He didn't think of this himself. It's probably all kinds of, like, crazy contracts going around with things.
Probably went to his lawyer like, look, man, I need you to write me something up, man. You say he's talking to Shaq. So it's probably not the first contract she signed.
With Kobe,
and I'm not, and I'm by no means am I saying that Shaq is a smart guy, but as much as he's been through, he's probably, you know.
Well, Shaq's smart with his money.
Yo, Kobe was like, yo, I should have paid her like Shaq be doing. What's wrong with your man B? Yo, man, anyway. That's J.J. Redick's story.
Yo, let's go to a whole different
story, man. Titans rookie Jonathan Willard rescues a family from a burning car. So I just want to give you, I just want to throw that in there to give you a little bit of, you know, good news in the midst of all this,
all
this madness, all this TMZ talk. Yeah. I mean, I really have nothing to say, but you did, you know, you did what you should have done.
Yeah. I mean, another story. I read the story.
Anyway.
The dude said he was driving down the road and his car was flaming, and the woman, the driver, didn't know. She was just chilling, driving. He told her to pull over. He claims by that time the car was like fully engulfed, so he and another car that stopped, a third guy, got the woman and her kids out of the car. One of the kids was an infant. She said she didn't stop because she didn't know that it was her car that was on fire. So how long do you have to go down the road seeing smoke, and black smoke, without realizing that it's your car that's on fire?
Because
they said once they got everybody out and the dog,
a big black guy waving her to stop.
And I don't know if they I don't know if they added the dog just for effect, but he saved the dog too. and they said after they got everybody out, the car like exploded. So it was like something from a movie. You know, we got him out just in time before the car exploded. So shout out to Jonathan Willard. I hope he makes the team.
Yeah, how about that?
That'd be messed. Can they cut him
now?
They can't cut
him,
man.
They can't cut him. This is a tough game. They might anyway.
Man, the Titans
got
to hold on to him. Even if he wasn't good, Jim, they got to hold on to him for at least a year because he's a hero. They can capitalize off of that.
They won't care. They're probably playing something else on him and say he did something else wrong.
He can wear a cape and a mask in the media program.
They don't care, B. They don't care. Anyway, man, those are the stories that happened while you were on the grind. Tell everybody's having a birthday.
All right. Birthdays, as usual, brought to you by Dr. Monique Roll of Alexandria Podiatry Associates. For the best and comprehensive treatment of injuries to the foot, ankle, and lower extremities, visit Dr. Monique Roll of Alexandria Podiatry Associates, treating patients in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area and beyond. Visit alexandriapodiatry.org or call 703-379-0700 and tell them War Room Sports sent you. So we're going to give some birthday shout-outs right now.
Yay!
Jimmy, Billy Wagner turns 42 today. You remember when Billy Wagner came to the Phillies, the whole city was pumped. You know,
the
hard-throwing closer. Dude blew out his arm and missed all that time. And I mean, he had his moments. Actually, like a few times, because remember when they first built Citizens Bank Park, and, you know, everybody, the whole rave was to go over and stand over the bullpen and watch people warm up. Yo, you knew, because this when the Phillies were on the bottom level, so you couldn't see them. You could see the visiting team because they wanted us to heckle them. But when he was starting to warm up, all you heard was the glove smacking down there, like pop, pop. So you knew who was about to come into the game because dude threw like 800 miles an hour. But, yeah, for all
yeah,
the hype that he came in with, all the hype he came in with wasn't much. So happy birthday to Billy Wagner. Birthday shout-out to Jimmy Williams. No, we're not talking about War Room Jimmy. We're talking about Jimmy Williams, who you guys probably better know him as Gorgeous Jimmy Garvin, the wrestler, turned 61 today. Y'all remember Gorgeous Jimmy Garvin?
Yeah, man.
Shout-out to that cat. NBA star Nate Thurman, big man, turned 72. And the late, great Walter Payton, who was born July 25th, 1954, and died in 1999.
Sweetness.
Today was Sweetness' birthday, so I'd like to give a birthday shout-out to all those gentlemen on their birthday straight from War Room Sports.
Yay! Yo, I actually got Walter Payton as probably as being my GOAT running back, but because his nickname was Sweetness, sometimes hold that against him.
Drop him down a few points.
Yeah, other man.
Yeah, I've got to take that down. You can't give me that nickname and I just accept it either, though.
Sweet. All right, so check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report. That's our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send us a message about the company, our show, and inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click on the memorabilia tab to buy War Room Sports merchandise. Click the blog tab to read our latest sports articles on the All's Fair in Sports and War blog. Then click the respective icons to like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to our iTunes podcast, and to download our free, our brand new overhauled War Room Sports mobile app. So make sure you get into the Google Play Store and the Apple App Store and get that new app because it's much better than the old one. No more excuses. You can keep up with everything we're doing here at War Room Sports right there in your pocket. Why would you want to do that? Because you do. And make sure you check out our videos at warroomsportstv.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/the war room. To enter the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to do that, you don't have time to do that, just sign in through your Facebook and Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, click follow so you can get updates and reminders about the show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and all our social media, including the chat room, during the show. If you want to call in and talk to us, the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline is now open. That number is 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you happen to be listening from your phone already, just press 1 if you want to talk, and we'll get to you, and we'll see what you want to rap about. So let's get into some more hot topics because, you know, NFL training camp is here, and we got to get to that. So let's discuss all the other big stories that happened in the week of sports, fellas, because it's been a doozy of a week, especially in Major League Baseball. So hot topics are brought to you by Audible. Is your schedule too hectic to read as much as you want? Try audiobooks and kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you got to do is visit Audible and sign up for your free trial at audibletrial.com/warroomsports. In no time, you can be listening to the latest bestsellers, hands-free, stress-free, or getting other things done at the very same time. Now, in golf, the PGA Tour, we know Phil Mickelson won the Open Championship this past weekend. Actually, if you go to warroomsportstv.com, our partner Akil actually did a video. It was mainly based on Tiger because of how he had the early lead in this tournament, and then he faded away, and Phil Mickelson ended up winning.
Tiger is golf.
Yeah. So, but I don't even want to talk about the tournament, fellas. I don't know if you guys heard about this because Phil Mickelson won the last two tournaments out there in Scotland. He won the Open Championship and the Scottish Open. Now, altogether for those two tournaments, his purse was a little over $2.1 million. But after taxes, because he has to give up 61% of his money.
61%.
So after taxes for two tournaments, he's going to be taking home $842,000. Maybe, you know, $842,700. Now, we know Phil has all kinds of endorsements, and he's not bleeding for money. He's rich.
Damn.
61% is a lot, and I'm going to tell you why. 13% of that goes to California, you know, and the remaining goes to the United States government. But 45% of his winnings will go to Great Britain. So he wins two tournaments in Great Britain and has to give up 45% of the purse and then has to come home and pay taxes to California and to Uncle Sam. Yo, what was the point of him going over there and winning?
Yo, peep this one, though, because you know he has to pay part of that to the U.K. And the U.K. is one of the few countries that collects taxes on endorsement income for non-resident athletes that compete in Britain. So even part of the endorsement money the U.K. wants a piece of.
Just for, like, time spent over there? How do they break down his endorsement money?
I have no clue, but they want theirs. Listen,
yo,
the government going
to
get theirs,
man. Shout out to the young king, the young king that was just born. He's getting paid.
He says going to diapers and stuff. Yo, so he has to pay $1.3 million of his winnings to taxes. And that's funny, though, because that's what the joke was. They said we assume the money taxed by Britain will go to the Royal Babies Binky Fund. But that's not funny, man. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of bread, man.
That man, 45% of his winnings.
No wonder the American Revolution. He needs to dump some money into the English
taxation.
Yo. By the way, side note, man, there were over 100 Royal African kings born this past year, but never mind, forget that. Anyway, but this story is crazy, man, and I ain't trying to get treated like my man Wesley Snipes and Lauryn Hill. So, you know, I just want to say, Phil Mickelson, make sure you pay your taxes. Damn!
We got somebody in the chat room that says the Audible discount doesn't work. They didn't honor it. So we're going to have to speak to the people at Audible.
I responded to them. I just asked them what they said. You know, I sent them a message. You know what I mean? I'm on that, though.
I'm about to, because, you know, I don't keep shouting people out if they ain't going to do what they supposed to be doing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I can rumble them. But, you know what I'm saying? That's why I said let me know what they say so I can go rumble them. But anyway... Phil Mickelson, though,
let me start front. That's crazy, the check, though. So the big story in sports this week, of course, in Major League Baseball, Ryan Braun, 2011 NL MVP, suspended for 65 games for the whole biogenesis situation. So as it plays out, Ryan Braun really was on PEDs. The big part of this story, fellas, is of course, the fact back right after he won the MVP, you know, he got a 50-game suspension that he successfully appealed. But during that appeal, his whole premise of the appeal was throwing the sample collector under the bus. And I believe the sample collector actually lost his job over this. So,
got fired.
With him copping to it now and all the apologies that he's issuing, it's like whether you care about PEDs in baseball or not, you know, he still kind of looks like a scumbag to you either way because he threw this innocent man under the bus and lost him his job. Jimmy, what was your reaction when you heard this?
Honestly, it's sad because I really wasn't surprised at all. Anytime you hear any kind of steroid talk around the game of baseball, it's to the point now where I just assume everybody is. And I shouldn't say that, but it's the truth. Like, I just... These dudes continually cheat, knowing the microscope they're under, because at the end of the day, it's worth it.
Yeah,
he has a huge contract. He can sit out for these 50 games, and he's still going to make a ish load of money. So, they kind of ruined the game, man. Like, if for someone like me who grew up watching baseball, it's not even shocking anymore. It's just like, it's just, to me, steroids is just as big a part of the game as, you know, the catcher's mitt. It's just part of the game at this point.
Right. See, now that's what I was going to ask you. Like, at this point, have you become desensitized to it? Like, do you not care about steroids?
I really
in the
think
game
that's
anymore?
The case. Yo, I really think that's the case.
I know a lot of people. Yeah, I know
I'm
a lot of
people. Trying to feel like John Rocker now.
Exactly. A lot of people were like you hear different opinions. I've heard everything from, look, you know, it doesn't matter. Everybody's on it. To, I hear people saying, it's better for the game. It made the game more exciting, you know. So
shout out to John Rocker.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of people have become desensitized to it, and
gentlemen.
Real quick in our chat room, Leroy just broke it down. He says basically he's given up $3 million to get $122 million, and he also says that the day that Derek Jeter and Adrian Beltre get caught, that's when he's done with baseball.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It definitely is just a little slap on the wrist for $3 million because his contract is diesel, and it seems like he copped so he could get a lesser punishment than they would have given. What were you about to say, Bios?
At this point, you know, and you guys are definitely fans of the sport, more so than I am, but as an observer, I'm not really bothered by PED use. I'm more bothered by how his situation unraveled, because we can't gloss over, and not that we did, we can't gloss over his behavior in the initial MVP year. This dude got up and made a spectacle of proclaiming innocence, even going so far as to shift the story. Like, it's accepted. It's accepted in you know, within the circles of people that are in the know, that it wasn't that he wasn't using PEDs. It's that he got off based on a technicality. So it was a technicality, and he proclaimed innocence. So there's always been people kind of looking at him like, oh, yeah, this guy's a dirtbag, because it wasn't like he was innocent. It was kind of the presumption of guilt, presumption of innocence thing in a technical criminal trial. That's what it was.
Shout out,
so,
shout out to O.J. Simpson.
Shut up. Never mind. Yeah, so he really is a dirtbag. But there's some other points that have been made. There was a time in baseball in the 60s and 70s, and maybe you guys can speak to this even better than I can, where amphetamines and cocaine were in heavy use. And people say that the league has always been aware of these problems, and Bud Selig, you know, who's the latest iteration of the commissioner, and those guys and people in that office have never done anything about illegal substances being used in the game, whether it's performance enhancing or some would say amphetamines and cocaine were performance enhancing. So
we have a question in the chat room. It says Braun took the Giambi route. What did he admit to?
Yeah, that was actually going to be a part of my next point, because I'm dumbfounded by the amount of people in baseball who are coming out kind of patting him on the back saying, well, I'm glad, you know, I give him credit for acknowledging his mistake. You know, now he just has to repair his reputation. He was caught. They had more evidence on him than they did the first time around, and there was nothing he could do. So he couldn't contest the suspension because there is nothing left to contest. He has been caught. So I kind of, you know, I dislike when that type of thing happens and people try to shift it and make it seem like somebody admitted to something when he
right.
basically had no
right.
choice. He could no longer deny it because the evidence was too much. So I mean, that's a really good question. I have no idea what he admitted to. And so this is my next question, and the people in the chat room and anybody listening, if you want to call in, of course, that number is 323-410-0012. We want to know if you think Major League Baseball should strip him of the 2011 National League MVP and give that to Kemp, or just vacate it.
Oh,
what do you guys
Kemp
think?
Kemp on drugs. Yo, I'm laughing. Latazo in our chat room. He says all these MFers I'm sorry, I'm laughing because I'm trying not to read it out. But anyway, he says they all on something. So let's just play the game and see who can use the strongest drugs.
That's where we are.
Can't set that precedent of stripping him of that because you'll set that precedent and you'll have to go back and strip guys from all over the place.
I agree with that 100%, because it was like the conversation we had, you know, last week or however many weeks ago that was, when we were talking about Chris Davis getting 62 homers and whether or not we would recognize him as the home run king. Just like we said with that, Bonds, Sosa, McGuire, like, you can't take their numbers out of the books because, you know,
you
like
can.
B. Austin just said,
and my thing is, what about
crazy precedent? So they, first of all, Matt Kemp should have won the MVP anyway, but he didn't. But I think right now it's too late to go back and do that. And just like, yeah, like Jimmy said,
it would get crazy. Now the alternative argument for that, though, is MVP is an individual award. So I have heard people say, well, how is an individual award going to affect the record books? But I just feel like there's too many individual awards to deal with.
It's going to be one of those things, man, because they're going to catch everybody. It's going to be like the Olympics, or better yet, when Lance Armstrong got stripped and they had to, like, go down a line to find who would win, but the first, like, eight people got caught on drugs. So one person that came in, like, ninth place, the first eight were all on drugs.
About my man A-Roy.
For being an individual award, though, but baseball is so much about numbers, you know, most of these records
right.
are individual records. Now, maybe if we were using subjective, you know, maybe that's a difference because Barry Bonds, he hit, you know, 73 home runs. Like, he did that. Nobody had to vote on that. So, but you actually had to vote on the MVP. It's a subjective award.
Yeah.
So I could probably see it in that case because a lot of people that we talk to and a lot of people on our social media is saying he should be stripped. Actually, the overwhelming consensus when we asked the question was that he should be stripped. But, yeah, I agree with you.
Well,
I don't really
think Matt Kemp deserves – Matt Kemp should be the MVP, but it has nothing really to do with baseball, yo. Shout out to Rihanna.
I knew you was going there, yo. In that
I
case,
can't give him
J.R.
MVP
Smith.
Status for that because everybody, yeah, that's what I'm about to say. Like,
yeah, I'm about to put
her
on the list for you, but I'm a chill.
Talented game.
Yeah, I say back then maybe, but, you know, now that everybody else didn't have it, it's not MVP material anymore. She's a hooah. But,
yo,
what's the implication? What's the implication from the Braun situation on Alex Rodriguez? Because sources are saying that the evidence they have against A-Rod is far beyond what they have.
He's
going to
get impeached.
Brian Braun. No, there actually have been rumblings. You know, they're talking. I don't want to say they're talking.
Banned
I'm not going to word this. Yeah, that's been thrown around. A lifetime ban has been thrown around. Now, if A-Rod, you know, is caught up in the midst of this and is proven guilty again, what do you think about that as an old-time baseball fan, Jimmy? Do you think he should get the lifetime ban?
No.
Or is it the same thing? It doesn't matter how many times you use and get caught. You know,
I think the Yankees are corny.
They're the ones that keep letting them play, so...
Here's the thing, people like all week have been bringing up Pete Rose and this whole nonsense. But the thing about it is, baseball allowed a lot of the steroid stuff to happen because they were capitalizing off of it as well. The Pete Rose broke like the ultimate. He committed the ultimate sin, which is gambling on your team. Like, and I know it sounds crazy, but you know that's always been. They've been adamant against like gambling, basically. You know, going back to the Black Sox scandal, but. Baseball allowed this whole steroid thing to happen. You can't give anyone a lifetime ban based upon that. You really can't because at that point, what kind of testing would you put in place to test the players who will still be playing? Because he's not the only one that's on it. There will be more names to come out. And the crazy part about it is I wouldn't even be shocked if next year and a year after somebody else gets caught. These guys, until the system is changing the contracts, they'll continually do it.
You guys are the baseball experts, but I have been following the A-Rod story because I find it to be fascinating. And there's a number of culpable parties in the A-Rod situation. Let me start with the New York Yankees. Were you guys aware that the New York Yankees original owner, Steinbrenner, is known for digging up dirt on players trying to get out of contracts?
Hey.
Have you ever heard of the Dave Winfield story?
Hey, be honest. What's different between that and what the federal government does every day? But, you know.
Nothing at all.
Oh, okay.
I think it's a fascinating story. I mean, if I'm in Steinbrenner's, situation, I'm trying to do the same thing, but... What I'm saying is what the Yankees are doing is they're trying to partner up with MLB to make sure that A-Rod doesn't see the field this season, and then they have grounds to void his contract because doesn't he have another 5 years and like $100 million?
Another 4 years on that crazy contract.
Yeah.
Basically,
he gets $28 million a year.
No, I mean, because that's a great point because, yeah, I've heard the same things. It's like I don't even know if it's just not getting on the field this year. I think the Yankees are all for that lifetime ban as an effort
to get out of the contract. And they're using the fact that A-Rod went to an outside physician to report on his knee, and they're kind of looking at that as a voidable offense. They're saying that by him going to an outside, they're pulling out all the stops to get rid of that dumb contract that they wrote.
All right, real quick, we have a couple comments coming in. Casey Mack says that MLB is trying to help the New York Yankees. The Yanks should have to pay because they knew he was using. And yeah. Miles Little says another thing he says is if you want to be a cool kid, he says these days you got to do what everybody does. You have to either be gay, pop mollies, or do steroids. He says heterosexual, drug free is a new minority.
My bad.
I always do that. What do you say about that, though? Great. Oh, my bad. I'm sorry, sis. But it says, what do you think about what she's saying, though? Heterosexual drug-free is a new minority. Now, you know, this is what you see in pop culture.
I might want to take that before I go in.
Actually, it's funny because I was asking a question just to have be off an answer because I know he has an opinion on this.
You got it.
I don't want the FCC to find us.
Do what you got to do, man.
That's the... I'll pay it.
I agree.
FCC them.
I agree with some of that based on the fact that we live in a time and a culture of immediacy. So in order to keep up with what's going on, in order to stay competitive in a multi-billion-dollar sport, athletes feel the pressure to do things to create that edge. And so, you know, steroids and performance-enhancing drugs is in vogue, but it's nothing new. It's nothing new. It's something that was that's been going on for years. You know, even before steroids, as I said, I alluded to amphetamines and cocaine. You know, they weren't snorting coke just to, you know, just because it was all a rage in the 70s and Tony Montana was in the dugout. You know, it gave edge in terms of their play. So that's where the roids thing. Now the mollies.
Shout out to Lawrence Taylor.
The mollies and the heterosexual versus homosexual. Sis, I can't really touch that. I mean, I don't know.
Do you think that now it's like part of this whole branding phase we're going through, or do you think that because I honestly believe that some of these cats claiming this stuff don't even really be about their life. They just try to, like, it's all about being popular. When you look at athletics now.
Whatever stuff. Well, as you say, branding is the wave right now, and it's all about creating that brand. People are less concerned about what it is that they actually do, their craft, whether it's sport, whether it's art, you know, whether you're a singer, a rapper, a ball player, or whatever. The guys from the generation that we grew up in, the 80s and the 90s, they were totally consumed with being the best at what it is that they did, and then that sold itself. That was their brand. Now, as long as you're very, very good, it's about the marketing machine and the branding that you have behind you to be able to do other things to create additional revenue streams. So everything is about creating a personal brand. That even branches away from the whole team concept, because you lose the value of team because each individual player on the team is worried about their value as a brand and what can be done to appeal to the masses to get followers that reflect on social media. What moves the needle?
Yeah, and that's what it goes down to. That's the biggest point.
Like you've always said, Jimmy, the professional athlete that's willing to bend over and bite the bullet and come out of the closet is going to win financially. They're going to run into a financial windfall.
All right. Well, before we wrap this up, I just wanted to give you guys Ryan Braun's comments on the situation. He says, as I have acknowledged in the past, I am not perfect. I don't really remember him acknowledging that in the past, but I realize now that I've made some mistakes. I'm willing to accept the consequences of those actions. The situation has taken a toll on me and my entire family, and it has been a distraction to my teammates in the Brewers organization. But who caused the problem? He's talking about it being, you know, taking a toll on him and his family, but, you know, nobody did this to you. You did this to yourself. But he said, I'm very grateful for the support. He got some more. I'm very grateful for the support I received from players, ownerships, and the fans of Milwaukee and around the country. Finally, I wish to apologize to anyone I may have disappointed. All of the baseball fans, especially those in Milwaukee, the great Brewers organization, and my teammates, I'm glad to have this matter behind me once and for all, and I cannot wait to get back to the game I love and that paycheck that I adore. I added that last part, but you know, that's what he's really thinking.
How come he didn't mention?
He's losing $3.2 million, but he got a lot of money to look forward to.
How come he didn't mention the fact that he said he would stake his life that he didn't do it? The fact that my man Aaron Rodgers came out and supported him, that he's making Aaron Rodgers look
and
stupid.
And bet a year's salary.
And he did not apologize to that sample taker. I guess he's still going to stick with the story like, well, back then I wasn't cheating, but nobody believes you.
Casey Mack says that Ryan Braun has embarrassed the whole Jewish community.
Damn.
I'm not going to speak on that because, you know, I don't know if that's true or not.
Well, we don't believe you. You need more people.
So I'm not going to comment on that one. I'm going to leave that alone.
All right, so real quick before
we... SEC, but... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Before we get to this NFL talk, man, I don't know if you guys have seen this, but I saw an ad the other day on DirecTV about... shout out to DirecTV, one of our sponsors. But I saw an ad the other day. They said after a 100-plus-year ban, bare-knuckle boxing is back. And they got a 1995 pay-per-view event going on this Saturday. I don't know if you fellas are going to buy that, but are you interested in bare-knuckle boxing?
I'm going to keep it a bean, yo. When I saw it, I actually considered it just based on the price. I was like,
it's only a dub, yeah. It's a dub.
Yeah, but then I'm looking at it like, yo, they have gloves on, but with the knuckles cut out. Like, is this real bare knuckles? This ain't real bare knuckles. I mean,
I thought the same thing, Jimmy. Now, if anybody out there listening, please go Google this or something because it'll be easy to find. And they show a picture of somebody with the gloves on that we're talking about. So, like Jimmy said, they're gloves, but they like have a slit, a little cut in the knuckle area. But I'm still thinking, unless you got the longest knuckles in creativity, you're still not going to hit anybody with your knuckles because the glove is still like a half-inch thick. So,
yo, I ain't going to lie. I love combat sports, so I'm going to watch it, y'all. It might be exciting.
For $20?
It might.
$20.
I mean, especially if you're not watching by yourself. Like, you know what I mean? If y'all want to get together
$20,
pay $20 for this.
A bare knuckle party. Everybody put up $5. You get four people with a bare knuckle.
A bare knuckle party.
Oh, no. 20 people
like
coming over.
Club.
Everybody paying $20.
I said, you trying to make a profit. A diesel profit off of this.
Yo,
one.
I ain't going to lie to you. I'm still contemplating that, y'all. I might watch
the
bare
I'm interested, too.
Day,
I'm thinking, like, you know, just because it's $20, I'm with you. I might. And then we can say we were there for the first one. You know what I mean?
Next month we're going to have OBN, Operation Bare Knuckles.
Yo, Jimmy wasn't even trying to just now, and I think he just talked me into it. I might watch to see if somebody get their boot stretched.
Somebody definitely going to get knocked the F out.
Yo,
I mean, somebody going
to
have long
sure
knuckles. So I guess because I keep thinking, because the gloves look a lot like MMA gloves with a
cut. My man Kimbo Slice should come back.
But they can't kick or nothing, so this is straight boxing. I think I mentioned. I want to see somebody get knuckled up, literally. So let us know if y'all, you know, if you end up watching this fight, you know, we could talk about it on our Facebook page or something. So if you're out there watching the bare knuckle brawl this Saturday on pay-per-view, then definitely hit us up. All right, man. So as usual, man, check out our website at wolverinesports.com. To call in and speak with us about any of today's topics, including bare-knuckle boxing, dial the Digital Extreme Tech hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Get knuckled down.
Anyway, man, let's talk some pigskin. And the NFL draft is brought to you by Stitcher Smart Radio. You can now hear our show, The War Room, on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your computer, your iPhone, your Android phone, and if you happen to have a BlackBerry or Palm phone, you can still hear The War Room, although you need a new phone. The latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed, and no memory or storage wasted. Go to Stitcher.com/The War Room, and that's one word, T-H-E-W-A-R-R-O-O-M. And when asked for a coupon code, use The War Room because it will put you in a contest. And everybody likes to win money, and that's what the contest is about. Now, It's some football time, yo. Haven't heard that sound in a while, yo, in a while. All right. Now, the first half of our show was all about baby moms and their issues. Now we're doing the drunk portion of our show. My beloved Broncos, and actually probably my favorite Bronco, Von Miller, has been suspended for 4 games for violating NFL.
Out the molly, I'm sweating.
Woo!
I could tell by the glasses he wore and the clothes he wears.
Still, but he's not offering much because they haven't really said what he was caught doing. Now, I've literally heard rumors that he was popping mollies, and then of course I heard a lot about marijuana. But he's like emphatically denying that he does not use marijuana, even though he was busted for marijuana his rookie year. So I don't know what the hell he's talking about. But he's like emphatically denying that. So that's making me think that the whole Molly rumor was true. He's being cool about it. I mean, he's appealing the suspension, and that hearing might not even happen until sometime in mid-August. And then he's saying, like, I don't think I'm being a distraction to my team right now. He said, you know, I got a good bunch of guys, and, you know, they know everybody has tough moments in their lives. They're sticking behind me. I'm not a distraction. I can go to training camp and do what I got to do. What do you guys think? You know,
yo, I could tell by the glasses he wears, by the gear. He popped a molly. He was sweating. He definitely he messes with Trinidad James. Cut the check. Here's what they're saying that because it was before it was his first arrest or his first infraction. And it was not a performance-enhancing drug that he will be able to avoid the suspension because of the fact that it was a recreational drug, and that's a part of the collective bargaining agreement.
I thought the NFL's drug policy was just drugs. I didn't know it was just performance-enhancing.
This is what I've read. I'm not saying I'm right. But what I read was that because it was not considered a performance-enhancing drug and it was his first offense, and was it during his rookie season or before his rookie season that the arrest occurred?
Well, no, the Denver Post reported that he tested positive for amphetamines and marijuana back in 2011, which was his rookie season. So I don't know.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. We have no idea what he's tested positive for this time. And you're supposed to test positive twice before they, you know, before they even levy a suspension.
Okay.
So
That's what it is. No, thank you.
He must have failed
thank
a couple.
Because that was a second test. If your first positive is recreational and not performance enhancing, it doesn't count against you for a suspension. That's what it is.
But wouldn't the NFL know that before? Wouldn't they know that before suspending them?
I don't know. That's the case that the players. That's the case that the Players Association is taking to the NFL to get him off of the suspension. That's why he's appealing.
And they'll probably win.
I know it's
why does my man wear those glasses, and why does he feel the need to wear these tight clothes at 250 pounds?
Because it's popular. That's what the boys do.
Yo, man. And listen, man, this is what she said in our chat room now. It's not even about, yo, these dudes, man, just, yo, this culture. I mean.
Yo, my man did run a 4.449.
Yo, he's so talented. He's a talented athlete, man.
Yo, he's a problem.
He's our best player. People get mad when I say that, you know, because, you know. Let me be quiet, because the great, I'm not. But he's literally our best player, and a lot of the way our team matured and played on the defensive side came.
It ain't even about the other side of the ball.
But he was our most dominant player during the course of the entire season.
Dominant?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, without question.
Agree.
I mean, and watching the games and watching every snap of these games, and I'm seeing how he was progressing, coming along as a pro. he was going to, you know, he had like, man, his future was just so bright.
Yeah, 18 and a half sacks.
Yeah, man, like this dude is a problem. Like, that's why I was so like, I was really pissed when I heard this, because like, he's literally my favorite player on the team. Like, this dude is a beast. But, you know, it is what it is, man. My thing is, yo, these dudes keep getting caught in every sport. Like,
Molly, I'm sweating.
I just don't get it, man. And I guess things have changed, because I can only imagine the kind of stuff that they would have tested as frequently and the media was the way it was when Doc and Magic and Bird and Jordan came up. They probably was on all kinds of everything. You know, we heard about the Forum Club, but I'm just saying, like, now that everything has changed,
yeah,
you can't do the same things. You can't get away with some of the stuff.
You can't tell me.
Athletes.
You can't tell me Magic hung at the Forum Club as much as he did, and he didn't have his face laying in a pile of cocaine every night.
Here, babe.
I know he
did. This line off of my long john.
Dog, in the 80s in L.A., and the way they were winning and the way they were playing, yo, James Worthy, I'm surprised he still got two nostrils, man. Like, yo, these dudes were – but I'm saying – but at the end of the day, these guys now, yo, it's just disappointing, man. Like, we really have – it's sad, man. These are heroes,
no,
man.
No, the crazy – I don't know what it is to be a professional football player, but I know in college – When test time was coming, there were little birdies around that could sit on your shoulder. That's all I'm gonna say. There were little birdies.
It really disgusts me. Like when you see the story, for instance, we were talking about like what we're going to talk about on tonight's show, and you look at the stories and you see some of the stories. Yo, me and Dev were talking about this before we came on. Like sometimes, yo, I feel like TMZ, B, like. These guys are just out of control. You wish that we could just talk X's and O's, but at this point we can't because, you know, sports and entertainment, I mean, it is pop culture, but, yo, we don't even have any, like, stand-up dudes no more.
Miller and Russell Westbrook wear the same clothes.
It's just ridiculous, B. It's like, yo, but B. Austin, though, and I know you're going to feel me on this one, Pauls, but it's bigger than just sports, yo. I mean, you look at the dudes running for, like, the mayor of New York City, and, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yo, never mind, I ain't going to get into that. But I'm just saying, like, our society, yo, bottom line, to wrap up everything I'm saying, yo, there's no hope for the human race, yo. That's
trouble.
It.
Vaughn Miller.
We in trouble,
man. Vaughn Miller on a Monday night game.
No hope for the youth.
There
ain't no hope for the future.
Came to the interview. After the interview, he was still in his pads. Well, he took his shoulder pads off, still had his shorts on, and he went and had someone fetch him some red frame glasses with no glass in them. And Steve Young said, well, why do you have those on? He couldn't answer.
He like, I don't know. Somebody else had, Dwayne Wade had them on.
My stylist told me to wear them. There's no hope for our race, B. Like, It's sad, yo. I mean, Anthony Weiner still sending crotch shots. But anyway, let's move on, man. Like the world is just out of control right now, man.
Weiner sending Weiner.
He learned it from Brett Favre.
Yeah, see, another athlete, man. Yo, anyway, speaking of the scum of the earth, let's talk about the Oakland Raiders, yo.
Damn.
The Raiders take number 24 from Tracy Porter and give it to Charles Woodson, and this is against Tracy Porter's wishes. He didn't want to relinquish this number, but they told him, yo, you Tracy Porter, and this is Charles Woodson.
I've seen so many people defending this, saying, you know, that's Charles Woodson. Charles Woodson wants the number, you give him the number. But this is sports. I mean, there's a culture when it comes to this. There's a culture that, well, it's within the culture
that the athlete
live by, yeah. So it's like usually if that happens, somebody comes in and they're bigger than you and they want your number, they got to give you a little something for the number, because most of the time if somebody is in a position where they can even take your number, then of course they're making more money than you. So he comes in, supposedly they were negotiating, but the negotiations, quote-unquote, stalled, so the Raiders stepped in and just took the number from Tracy Porter. You know, Woodson played most of his career as a Raider, and Tracy Porter is only under a 1-year contract at the moment, but so is Charles Woodson. But You know, I guess they want him to have the number for his last year or so in the league, which is all good. But I think if the Raiders step in, you have to step in a different capacity, not to just come in and be the bully and give him the number, but, you know, maybe come in and try to help, you know, get a deal done, not just come in and just take the number from the dude. So I thought it was just funny. I mean, it's not that big of a deal to me. I don't really care. But I just thought that it was an interesting story because Tracy Porter a little salty about it.
Yeah, man. What do you think?
I thought it was very corny on the part of Al Davis's organization. And
they should
be ashamed.
Al Davis's organization.
They that's definitely something that the athletes have to work out, and they have approximately about a month and a half to do so. So, you know, Charles, you got more money than Tracy Porter. Pony up. Give him that $100,000, and, you know, that'll be that.
Yo, you know, the crazy thing is, like, he was so adamant about having the number when he first came. He initially wore a numberless jersey in the workouts. I'm like, come on, dog, just grab the jersey with a number on it. Like, hey, why are you acting like that? So Tracy Porter tweeted about it twice. He would say, well, you Raiders fans, your guy has 24. It was taken from me. He wrote taken in big letters. It was taken from me and given to him. Hashtag congrats. Too funny how this biz works. And then in a follow-up, he said, not mad at all. It's just the principle and the way it was handled. Said my piece. Now back to football. So I saw an interesting take on it today. Somebody was saying how, you know, something as small as this could cause some dissension in the locker room. You know what I'm
yes,
saying? Like,
absolutely.
Yep.
So the Raiders should have never stepped in. You know.
Yep. Listen, man. This is why they are the scum of the earth, and they're going to lose for the rest of eternity because now this goes along. It's something very small, but it goes
karma.
A long way. I'm a free agent, yo, and I'm thinking about different teams, and you know, and the money is
no. I don't think it's that small, though. I don't think it's that small, though. I don't think it's a small issue. Like Jimmy just said, if I'm a free agent, I'm looking at that. If we're in a locker room, depending on the personalities that are there, there's a little bit of dissension. Like, who the hell does Chuck think he is? He's not that nice anymore. He's still, you know, he's still above average.
And
but,
against the organization. They're going to start hitting the slave analogy. Right? They're going to start hitting the Adrian Peterson slave analogy.
So it's like basically if I'm thinking about going to the Raiders, I'm a free agent, you know, and I wear 21, I might be a little skeptical because hey, Namdi's only across the bay in San Francisco. He might want to come back, want his number back, and they're gonna give it to him because he's Namdi and he was here before. So
yeah,
you know, I mean it could blossom into stuff like that. it could definitely blossom into something like that, into a more serious situation, like I said, it caused him dissension.
I'm gonna tell Namdi, last king of Scotland.
Yo, I have no comment. Be awesome. Must be popping mollies over there. Anyway,
you're sweating,
and I'm sweating.
Bill Belichick has addressed the Aaron Hernandez situation. Did you guys hear what he said?
Yeah, he was. To me, first of all, everybody was surprised that he even said this much because, you know, he doesn't give that much in press conferences. To me, it's still one of them things where what he said still just made the Patriots sound like an elitist organization. You know, because he made sure that he told you that most of the guys that come through here are model citizens, you know what I'm saying, and sometimes you miss on one, this and that. And he was personally disappointed by Aaron Hernandez. But the case was, like, Aaron Hernandez had certain strikes against them before they even picked him up. So basically, you know, they dropped the ball. You know, they didn't – they knew certain things, and they couldn't pass on the talent, just like a lot of other football teams would have done. But they don't –
you know what, Dev?
I
don't think that's it, though. You know what I think it is? My theory is that they got so arrogant that – they think that their organization, their structure, they could just put anybody in it and they'll just fall in line. Because, I mean, they've been doing this since, like, Corey Dillon. Corey Dillon had issues coming in there. But, I mean, and the thing is, Corey Dillon fell in line and played, you know, and behaved himself, so to speak. And
Randy Moss fell in line.
Albert Haynesworth, Adalius Thomas.
But so they had this thing there where they're so arrogant, they're like, look, we're at the point now where our system is such that we can bring in anybody regardless of their history and make them play the Patriot way.
And this dude was out playing the murder game, though.
Exactly. You got the wrong dude.
Aqib Talib is a known rifleman, and he put his gun belt away.
In the words of Young Deezy, man, he busts his gun. Nas don't bust his gun. Greatest quote ever. Nas don't bust his gun. Anyway, go ahead.
I don't know. The craziest thing though is how quickly they severed ties as soon as they heard he was a part of a murder investigation. As soon as he became a suspect, it was like, because remember, he got released like as he was in the police car going to the station. Like the report said, they just picked up Aaron Hernandez, and then 2 seconds later, the report said Aaron Hernandez has been cut from the Patriots. So,
I was putting in work for Robert Kraft. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, Bielsen, because I got a question for you.
I understand the point on the part of the Patriots, though, or the pickup, because from what I have seen of Aaron Hernandez, he was the most versatile and possibly the most talented player on that roster.
Definitely. They had two very, very talented tight ends. One versatile, one just giant.
Yeah, his primary position was tight end, but yo, they had the dude running reverse.
they lined him up everywhere, did all kinds of things with him. What I want to ask you guys though, now, I don't know if it's as simple with him as an innocence or guilt thing, because I guess a lot of people out there, their opinion is already ingrained in stone. Like, even if he gets off, it's people have the preconceived notion that it'll be because of some kind of loophole in the system, not because he's innocent per se. But I'm saying, what if he is found not guilty? You know what I'm saying? What do you think the NFL will do? Will he be able to resume his career?
Yes.
Will the Patriots acknowledge that they kind of jumped the gun on something? Because usually in these type of situations, people wait until, you know, the courts come down with their ruling. But it's usually not murder that you're involved with. So, and besides the Patriots, the NFL, EA Sports have taken him off games. The University of Florida has taken his brick out of the, you know, they have little bricks inscribed with their names on it. They took that out. So a lot of people are kind of making it seem as if Aaron Hernandez never existed. So what I wanted to know from you guys, if he actually gets off, like, will all these entities be wrong for doing that before him getting his day in court?
No. And here's why. It's not even this particular, the gravity of this situation has brought to light his character and the perception of what he represents. So even if he beats, I think two things will happen. Number one, from a talent perspective, I think he'll have another job. I mean, I do think that he'll get back into the league if he's able to get off. But
always the Raiders. Always the Raiders.
Yeah, it wasn't. It's not just that my man has body. My man was a hitman for hire. So it's like,
not Andy Reid get down.
It's case after case. Like, you know, it's not along the lines of Pac-Man Jones who had 16 cases, but look at the type of cases this dude has. Like, he's got 5 cases of bodies. Like, my man has Dexter bodies. So it's like, I want to get as far away from that as possible, because even if he gets off on this one, coincidence doesn't happen. You can't be accused of murder 5 times or involved in 5 murders and you ain't pull no trigger. So,
Mike Vick had more than 5 bodies. What? He did, man. He had more.
Right, I'm remaining quiet on that one.
I can understand major brands wanting to separate themselves from this guy. Whether or not he's found.
So was a family member, yo.
Yo,
whether or not he's found
guilty or innocent,
guilty or innocent, the perception of who Aaron Hernandez is has been set. You know, he has gang affiliations. He's got, you know, number of gun charges, gun-related, violence-related crimes in his past. So there will always be this perception of him as being a hood. So major brands just can't take that chance. Now, NFL teams who want to win, they'll risk that. They don't care.
Yeah, because it's like his whole everything has changed now. I mean, because you got to think about, like, you know, his charges. This isn't like PDs or drunk driving or even any kind of anything domestic. Like, you know, when you see dude now, like, as like, soon as you see him, yo.
Hold up, son. Word.
Yeah. To all the killers and the $100 billers.
Yo,
I got the phone.
Yo, as soon as you see him, that's all you hear now, B. So it's like,
man, got no feeling. And when he's in his hearings, if you look at him, it's kind of like he don't really look shook.
Not at all.
I'm sure he is.
Not at all.
I'm sure he is.
Yo,
so my
know,
man
B.
is in there like, yo, how soon can I blow trial so I can get to the yard?
He's like, I'm ready.
Cause I got a dice game I got to get to, because we betting heavy on the stamps and the toilet paper, and this is wasting my time. I'm going to be in here.
He looks like he's trying to get right to the pull-ups. Like, he ain't got time for all
this. He's trying to get right to that dips.
He's like, yo, we
know what
I got some dips to do, man. Anyway, man, there's some more stories to talk about. This is what I really want to get you guys perspective on. Me and Dev actually did a video in reference to Jaws and his top six quarterbacks. Well, we were really arguing about his placement of Drew Brees. But, Dev, do you have the top six? And can you give him an order from six to one?
Number six, he has Drew Brees. Number five, Matt Ryan. Number four, Joe Flacco. Number three, Tom Brady. Number two, Peyton Manning. And number one, Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. So now, with that being said, we also, and I want you to rock first, because me and Dev already talked about kind of how we felt about the top of that, you know, six. What is
Drew
your opinion
Brees.
On, yeah, where
Drew
you put
Brees
Drew
should
at?
Be at least number four. He should be ahead of Matt Ryan. He should be ahead of, who's, Drew Brees number six. Matt Ryan is number five. Who's number four, Dev?
Flacco.
Yeah, Brees should be number four at least. And last season was not real. I don't really blame Drew Brees. Kind of like he was out there by himself. So I don't think that's indicative of him falling off at all. I think that Drew Brees.
His numbers were crazy, though.
You don't
yeah,
fall
yeah,
off
yeah,
with 5,100 yards and 43 touchdowns.
Yeah. Drew, at this point, even if you want to break
points.
It down, even if you want to break it down like this, who would you rather have? Drew Brees or Matt Ryan, Drew Brees or Joe Flacco? I'm taking Drew Brees for the next 10 years.
Yo, I'm taking, you said 10 years. Damn. Put it like this. And I was explaining this to someone I was talking to on Twitter. I says, let me ask you a question in terms of Matt Ryan specifically. If you could take Drew Brees and put him on that Falcons team, do you think they'll be more dangerous with the weapons they have? And that just ended the whole discussion. That ended the whole discussion right there.
Yeah.
You talk about Matt Ryan's number.
Matter
I said,
of
well,
fact,
put Drew Brees
Jimmy,
with those
matter
two
fact,
receivers.
Change that. Add to that statement and say, if you did an exchange, what would Matt Ryan do with the Falcons, with the Saints?
Yeah, I didn't have to bring
Joe
that up.
Flacco,
the conversation was over. The conversation was over once I said, put Drew Brees on the Falcons with those two receivers that tight end that system. Anyway, man.
Sheesh.
But now,
yo, first
in terms
of all, first of all, Drew Brees' best receiver is a seventh round pick from Hofstra. So,
yeah.
Like, so that's one thing right there. But, yeah, as
right.
we discussed earlier, I definitely think that it's a little bit prisoner of the moment with Jaws and his rankings. Like, I understand where he's trying to go, because he's definitely just doing the rankings for this upcoming
season.
So it's basically
it's
what you did last year in addition to, you know, the reports that have come out during the summer and the workouts and stuff like that. But even with that being said, even with Flacco's dominance in the playoffs and winning the Super Bowl, and with Matt Ryan taking the Falcons to the NFC Championship game, I still, in my right mind, couldn't put those guys ahead of Drew Brees on a list. Now, personally, we're talking top six, and we're only kind of we've only discussed Drew Brees being behind those guys.
Yeah,
I don't. I wouldn't have even right now. I wouldn't have Joe Flacco or Matt Ryan in my top six anyway. So,
well, here's the thing, Dev, and it's something else. It's something else that someone had pointed to me. I forgot who it was, and forgive me. We talked to so many people during the course of the week, but they said that Joe Flacco has been like one of Joe's guys since day one. And I went back and looked at it. Even on draft night, he was like, you know, basically
Jaw
giving the dude a blumpkin. He was giving him a blumpkin on
draft night. Jaws around.
Yo, so he's been like a Flacco fan like since day one. Like that's one of his guys. So if you look at the list over the last couple of years, he's always had him high. And it's like, I guess like the Super Bowl just gave him more ammunition to say, you know what? I'm going to put him up there.
He played for Delaware, and I believe Jaw still has a home in
lives
that
in the area.
General vicinity.
Yeah, he's in
his
area. Yeah.
Yeah, he was a local guy that he got to see a lot. So he touted him, and I guess he has his chest puffed out a little bit now because he ended up winning the Super Bowl. So
that's the only argument I need, Sean.
I respect his pause. I respect his poise in the pocket. I respect his arm strength. He's a good quality quarterback. But what Drew Brees brings to the table in terms of you know the cerebral approach to the game. His mobility, they're in a different class to me. They're in a whole different class. Like Drew Brees is in an elite class, top three, top four QBs.
To me, to be perfectly honest, and this is being completely objective, there may only be two quarterbacks in the entire. And matter of fact, and if I'm gonna be completely honest, there might only be one quarterback I'd take over Brees, because I think Brees and Brady
are
like neck
going.
And neck. The only quarterback I probably would take over Brees, to be honest with you, is probably Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, I'd take Aaron Rodgers over anybody.
Aaron Rodgers. My case, obviously, Peyton Manning. But would you take Drew Brees over Tom Brady?
I think they're like neck and neck. I think that the argument can be made.
Drew Brees gives you more mobility in the pocket.
And even with Peyton Manning, not trying to make this a big argument, I think that I could make an argument that I would take him before Peyton Manning. There's only one quarterback.
I'm not mad at that argument.
No,
there's
only one quarterback who I would just like completely take without question, and that's only one quarterback, which is Aaron Rodgers. Because now, I think he's the best doing it right now. But that's the only quarterback that I would take without like hesitation.
Right.
You know, outside of that, I would put him up against Brady. I would put him up against Manning. You know, and at the end of the day, I think those are like the four horsemen. I think to put Flacco or Matt Ryan in their level, like, you know, as much trash as I talk about Manning, I do think he is a choke, but I think he's part of that elite four because people are, like, I saw something on our Facebook page today where someone said, is Big Ben elite? And I'm like, no, he's a great quarterback, but you could be great. You could be great and not elite. To me, the elite are the cream of the crop, and I think there's only four elite quarterbacks in the entire NFL. My personal opinion.
I think I would it's difficult because, you know, he's always, you know, Eli Manning is always the question. See,
He's on the fringe.
As I'm saying, I would put Eli Manning as the fifth best quarterback in the league.
I would too.
The question is he elite? Because a lot of people want to put a number on elite. Well, top five, it doesn't, you know, if there's only if there's only two elite quarterbacks at any given time in the league, then it's only two. If there happens to be 10, if we have an overabundance of eliteness in the league, then it's 10. There's no number on elite. Like, if you're elite,
not a number on elite. Yeah. But to me, when I look at the elite quarterbacks, I think these are guys that you can drop in any situation and that team will be competitive.
Because, Jimmy, I agree with you. I think those top four, I think they're elite without question. I think Eli is where you start to get into an argument of whether he's elite or not. If there's an argument, then you're probably not there. I would lean towards yes, but I would concede that argument
you know, to anybody who wants to make it, because if there is an argument, then maybe something's wrong there. I don't see
but
people
I think we're
arguing.
In the same, we're in the same page.
Yeah, definitely.
I think
I don't
Eli's
think people
better than
argue
Flacco and Ryan.
But
here's the thing.
I
think you look at a team like Jacksonville, who's this deplorable. I think if you drop one of those top four guys there, they're going to compete at a high level. Yeah, and, you know, I think that that's, to me, is what the elite is. That, and that's what I'm saying. That's why that was the only thing.
Yeah, that team is deplorable. Their fans are deplorable. Their city is deplorable. I mean, besides it being sunny.
At this point,
taking that logic, you can look at those four guys and you can drop them into Jacksonville and look at the span of a game through four quarters, and they're going to deliver on making that team better throughout the course of a game and give you a much better chance to win. My thing with Eli is Eli looks like he's bored and disinterested second quarter through third, and and then somewhere like halfway through the third, he says, all right, I'm a Manning. You guys are doubting me. The haters are now tuned in. Everybody's watching. And his tism kicks in, and the cape comes on. And away we go.
Tism. Yo.
Yo, the ball got
anyway,
tism.
Yo, I'm chilling on that one. I ain't commenting on that. I caught it. You know, we got our own language out there, y'all. But and I'm gonna leave
that alone. But I overrate that, and I admit that, and I've been called on it before. Because he's so clutch,
Yo, you are hilarious, man. You overrate clutchness except for when it comes to 18. But we're not going to get into this argument on the air.
Yeah, but you already admitted that 18 is top four elite, so I'm cool with that.
I said that. What I'm talking about, people say he's the – I mean, people make the argument, and I've seen articles written about him being the greatest ever. Because at the end of the day –
And I'll probably agree with that in two seasons.
But here's the thing, though. B. Austin. It's like because you – and I know how you rate clutchness. It's the reason that you're a Sam Cassell fan. It's the reason that you like Chauncey Billups. You like all these off-brand dudes because of the way they play in the clutch. So for me, it's kind of weird when we talk about someone who historically, throughout college and the pros, hasn't played well in the clutch. It's kind of weird for me to see you feelings.
He has overall, though. I mean, there's been a lot of times where in games,
I'm talking about
you give them the last possession, he's going to beat you. Or they're going to beat you. But, you know, it's come down to quote-unquote big moments.
Dev, the same thing can be said for LeBron. I mean, if that's the case. There are a lot of times that he comes through. I mean, but just because of B. Austin and how
he
always...
But he doesn't want to come through. LeBron doesn't want to. He doesn't want the shot.
If we were on
the court, he would say, Jimmy, you are a shooter. Here, you take that shot.
We're going to get way off topic.
We're getting way off topic. My point is,
back to 18, real quick.
So when I think about, like, even going back to Tennessee,
the problem with 18, and I'm going to say this again, I said it to you, we were arguing the other night, is you have a front office in Indianapolis that built a Bass-Ackwards team that was based 100% on a quarterback and that system around the quarterback. There's instances where this dude, if the timing of a route is off, it's too much is predicated on him. Listen, we'll give Tom Brady credit till the day is done, and rightfully so. Take Tom out of that system and put a good, decent to good quarterback, they still can win games. Take Eli out, and these are all great quarterbacks. Take Peyton Manning off of the Indianapolis Colts, and they are a 1-15 team. No team should be built like that. That's terrible.
Listen, all I'm
they're
saying
too
is
dependent on him. There's too dependent.
Okay, you can try to make that argument, but at the same time, they've had great defenses in Indianapolis.
We saw and he's it proved
made,
out.
But what I'm saying is he made tons of mistakes. And any mistake he makes is like,
no, they don't
what about
make
this?
Tons
what about that? You play a state, you play a game,
I wouldn't call any of those.
Well, no. Okay,
great.
How about this? How about this? He makes
their defenses
make,
were terrible.
I mean, they've had a top ranked defense several times. And that's what I'm saying.
That
this
number,
so has
the San Diego Superchargers when
they
were
let me speak or not, man.
They were
innate
with a great.
Damn, I was thinking about saying something.
Based on numbers.
All I'm saying is this. What are you basing his stuff on? Numbers, right? Huh?
No, I'm basing
I can't
it on
hear
wins.
You?
I'm basing it on. No, I'm not. Actually, I'm not basing it on numbers.
Oh, so he's just out there playing by himself. He hasn't had Pro Bowlers on the offensive line, Pro Bowlers on defense, Pro Bowlers at the receiver position. This whole
notion
of
you want me to respond to that, or are you just trying to make a point? Because I do have
no,
a response for that.
No, the whole thing, this whole notion of him playing by himself is BS. It's something that a lot of the Peyton Manning protectionists say, but it's just not
Austin
true. It's not
Ollie,
factual.
Pierre Garcon.
It's not factual.
Now,
like
I would never say that somebody is playing by himself. It's too much of a team
Austin
sport.
Like he
but
is.
I know,
they
but I do acknowledge the way those teams were built. Those teams were built stupidly. Like, I ain't going front. Like, because we talk about, like, numbers and defenses, but a lot of times their offense was designed to basically keep the defense from having to play so much. So, you know, if you –
teams were built on speed. So, on defense, they predicate defense on pass rushing and scoring points.
Whole,
the whole defense is built on speed, and it was based upon where they
so their whole plan, not even just game plan, because this was an every-week thing, their whole premise was to get leads. I'm not saying it always happened that way, but their whole premise was to get leads. And like you said, they had a lot of undersized, fast players on defense. So if you're getting a lot of leads and then offenses can no longer run the ball because they have to pass, you know they have to pass, and you get those fast dudes after them, then I can see how the Colts defense could have numbers that are not really indicative of how good their defense is. Because when they didn't get leads and teams got to just ground and pound on their ass, they got blood.
Mm-hmm.
Like, their front four was trash truck juice at all times. They were
the
always
run.
Undersized. Yeah, because, you know.
Against
and,
the run,
and,
they
and I totally
when they
that,
got those leads
him,
and teams couldn't run, then, you know. It
but to absolve
story.
Him of all blame is crazy because a lot of times
oh,
the way that the Patriots would get the leads was because of stupid-ass interceptions he would throw. And some of them, you try to blame on a receiver, they just weren't blamed on a receiver. Sometimes, I mean, this dude makes mistakes at the worst times. A lot of times it's in playoffs, it's in overtime. He makes mistakes at terrible times. And all
I think
I'm saying
both ways.
You,
I mean,
here,
I think it goes both ways. You know how you like we just brought up LeBron. I think it's the same with Peyton Manning. I think people who our Manning protectionists will go overboard in the praise, and then I think people who are Manning detractors will go overboard and trying to take away from what he's done. Because there are certain times when, you know, if you think about the whole Patriots, one of the big losses they had, the Patriots in the AFC Championship game of 2003, like
that game, and
the Eagles and Panthers game, like, they changed rules because of what they were doing to the receivers in that game. So, you know, yeah, the quarterbacks threw some picks, including Donovan McNabb, and we kill them for that because of what Ricky Manning did. But at the same time, those receivers had a lot to do with that. Like, Todd Stinkston couldn't get off the line of scrimmage.
The same thing
with the New England game because Ty Law was out there, like, just mugging
people. But this is my point.
But
my point is, if it's good for Manning, then it's not good for – I'm just talking about offense.
But it's different circumstances, though, Jimmy. The Eagles' offense wasn't built on timing routes, though. So McNabb didn't have to
I totally get that. But my point is just be consistent.
Do you get it? You just said you got it. You got that the Indianapolis Colts offense was built on timing routes.
Absolutely. I never said it wasn't.
Okay.
See,
my thing is, if your quarterback is off with his timing.
You expect the dude to be there. McNabb.
My thing is, if
he's
off with his timing, then so what? All I'm saying is, and the thing is, I'm just talking about when we talk about this guy, B. Austin acts as if he does no wrong. We talk about that play he made in overtime last year in the playoffs, and B. Austin wants to bring up the defense, and I told him the defense stunk. It shouldn't even have been close. We should have blew that team out. But
this
isn't even good, and he had
Can I finish? Dude, never let me finish.
He had sex with him.
Yo,
who,
but
by the way,
is
one of the favorite corners of all time.
Scott, man. What I'm saying is, it wasn't even the champ. It was the Raheem Moore play that was the straw that broke the
record. Oh, yeah, Raheem Moore
deserves the chop. What I'm saying is, if you are the greatest ever, if you are that guy, regardless of what happens in the first four quarters, I should be able to have confidence that we have the ball, we're going to win this game. If Aaron Rodgers is my quarterback and it's tied up, I'm excited. I'm not nervous. I was nervous, and this dude runs right and throws left. If that would have been any other quarterback, yo, you wouldn't even have pointed to what the defense has done. You wouldn't have done it.
How could I not, though?
Because you have a different set of rules when it comes to all of them.
They were up 17 points in the second half.
Okay, so sort of like, okay, so like McNabb said, I put us in a position to win. The defense gave it up. Like, so is that scenario? Is that what it is? What I'm saying is you judge him different than you do any other player in any sport.
Against that Cardinals game.
That's all I'm saying.
Against the Cardinals, that was the only time McNabb ever had any room to say that. I'll even admit that. But the fact is, though, like, you know, because y'all know I'm a Peyton Manning fan. I might not go as far as be Austin.
And my thing is,
but at the same time, y'all did score 35 points in that game, man. Y'all scored 35.
I said we should have won that game going away. We should have won the game going away.
But Manning had nothing to do with them getting that 35 points.
But my point is this. He still made a huge mistake. You act like that didn't happen. Because he did this, that didn't happen. If LeBron scores 40 points, if LeBron scores 40 points and he passes on the last shot, what does B. Austin do? You don't care about that 40 points. So with the same rules don't apply.
Even though Manning was out there longer than he should have been, that still doesn't give him, you know, a justification to throw the pass.
No, not at all. Because all I'm saying is
I'm not saying it was the fourth best in the game. I'm not saying it was a good play. It was a terrible play.
It was rookie.
An asinine play. But we can't act like normal fans because we're not anymore. So we can't hang. We can't act like we didn't analyze.
But no one ever did that, though. No one ever did that. Like, I made a whole video throwing Raheem Moore into the bus.
I hate Peyton Manning was all over social media.
I do hate him. I know, but I also said deport Raheem Moore, and I don't even think he can be deported. So my thing is, don't act like, yo, I want a Chan Bailey. I made threats to his life. Like, what are you talking about? I wanted everybody. As a matter of fact, I said F our coach, too.
To be real, he did spread his slander. I think the reason why we keep coming back to Peyton Manning is because he's the only one you defend out of that bunch. So Jimmy goes harder at him because there's some
pushback.
Because
you did. My thing is I slander everybody.
I'm a Champ Bailey fan. Like, I'm a champ. Like, I mess with Champ. But
be honest, here's what I'm saying, though. You act as if I'm just, like, have all-out hate for Peyton Manning. My thing is, I said he's the fourth best quarterback in the entire world. But at the same time, I do recognize his faults. And I blamed our coach. The play that he threw the pick on was a dumb play to begin with. It was a design rollout. Who calls that? It was a design
rollout for Peyton Manning. If I'm Peyton Manning, I would have said no to that play.
Because he was supposed to hit the short route on the right-hand side, but he decided to, like, get greedy and try to throw back across his body to a Caucasian receiver. You can't do that. So what I'm saying is, so the coach gets the blame, too. There's a lot of blame to go around for that loss. But my whole point in this whole quarterback conversation is I just think that when you personally judge Peyton Manning, you do it on the curve because I know how you are when it comes to clutch. If LeBron scores 50 points and puts his team in position to win, but somehow goes overtime, and he makes a mistake to lose the game, you don't care that he scored 50 points. You don't care that he had a triple-double. All you care
about
is that one play.
Because he's the only player. When we look, if you're using that analogy, I've never seen someone of his ilk and caliber, including Peyton Manning in this statement, that tries to get rid of their responsibility to be the man when it's clutch time. It's not like Peyton. Even in Peyton's case, all right, you say Peyton makes mistakes in the clutch. All right, cool. It's a mistake.
Yeah. This goes back to Tennessee, by the way. This is not new.
LeBron doesn't want to be in the clutch. It's not a matter of Peyton not wanting to be. LeBron doesn't want to be in a pressure-filled situation.
I mean, and I hear you, and I hear you, but, like, we're going way off base. But my whole point is this. My whole point is Peyton Manning, even being a fourth-best quarterback, is still overrated. And I think that the quarterback position in general
is overrated.
You know, no, I don't think that's overrated at all. It's not overrated at all. It's just that the quarterback position, people think that you have 15 or 20 good. No, it's only a couple handful of great ones. Then you have good ones, and then you just have a huge drop off. You look at the second half of that list.
Then you got Billy Bowling.
Oh God. You're like, oh God. But
second half
at the end of the day,
TTJ.
When you look at that whole list of Jaws, and I know it takes a lot of film watching and all that, I wouldn't even argue with a lot of it. I see why he put the younger quarterbacks up there. Some people made an argument about that where he placed Kaepernick, RG3. I mean, I could see both sides of that argument. But considering it's based upon his prediction for this year and what happened last year and it's not a body of work thing, I kind of see why. And now we'll see next year when the list comes out how the adjustments will be made based upon what happens this season. But to me, the biggest shock out of that whole 32 was Drew Brees, because I just hold him in high regard, and I thought that was kind of like crazy. That's
for
me personally. Did you guys have any?
I say even the stuff that I don't agree with on the list, you know, I still, you know, just like in the video, I still, you know, show Jaws respect, because there's a lot of people going around, oh, F Jaws, because everybody's a homer and they don't like where their quarterback
is. Yeah, you got players pissed about their ranking.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think a lot of people, first of all, because this is what comes afterwards. Jaws don't know what he's talking about. He don't know football. If Jaws didn't know football, then you wouldn't be, your feelings wouldn't be hurt because of where he placed your quarterback or you on this list. If you didn't think he knew football, you wouldn't be insulted.
If you're a Packers
fan,
you think Jaws is brilliant.
There was one thing that I did question. There's a guy.
If you didn't hold on to his opinion, you wouldn't be all in your feelings about it. Go ahead.
Where's RG3 ranked? Is it 15th?
13.
He averaged 187 yards passing per game.
But this is not the best passers, Austin.
Yeah, you're right. I know that. I just wanted to point that out.
And we know how Austin goes.
4,000 yards,
you know how Austin goes, too, Jimmy. You know how he goes. Like, every time he brings up LeBron, like, his weight goes up another 5. Every time he brings up this subject, RG3's passing yards goes down another 2 or 3 yards.
Yeah, like, I know. He's like, LeBron is 6'9", 400 pounds of muscle. Like, damn,
pause that. I ain't never seen
LeBron going to be 7'2", 6,000 pounds in, like, a week. If we keep bringing him up.
He did the same thing. He did the same thing with Shaq, too, when he wanted to slander Shaq. He should have dominated. He was 7'6", 400 pounds.
No, I say 7'9", and 2 million.
Yeah.
7'9".
Because actually, RG3 averaged like 213 yards per game. Because you're probably averaging out 16. He only played in 15.
Oh, you're right.
He had 3,200 yards even. But even if he played in 16 with 3,200 yards, that's 200 yards passing per game. So either way, you're slighting him. And I understand why. But
anyway, speaking of RG3, let me ask you this question. Let's talk about his recovery.
Talk about
his hair, man.
Let's talk about he had a press conference yesterday, Jim, and by all accounts, it seems like they've already made the decision that he's not going to play at all in the preseason. What I've heard out of a few people, because we all know that Kirk Cousins has proven so far to be a very viable backup, maybe even a starter level quarterback in his league. So what a lot of people are saying, like, first of all, when you come back from an injury, like, it's not the timing and stuff like that. The biggest thing coming off an injury is how you react after you take that first hit. And are they willing to wait out the whole preseason and allow that first hit to come, you know, in a all-out Monday night game against, the rival Philadelphia Eagles? And the other what-ifs are, what if Kirk Cousins goes out there with like 120 passer rating in the preseason? Do you just sit him down and let RG3
play? That's what I was getting ready to
play.
He's like playing against
I relish a quarterback controversy and competition in D.C. Because I think Cousins is the better quarterback.
Damn. The better passer, you're saying.
That's B. Austin, by the way.
Clarify that. Better passer, you're saying.
No, of course, he ain't saying that either.
Talked about with Jaws, you know, it's a whole lot more these days, especially to being a quarterback.
Yeah, no, we're
I want RG3 to play just for my pure entertainment, so I can, you know, play the Redskins fan.
Hey, Rod.
I actually enjoy watching Robert Griffin press conferences. You know what I'm saying? He's a mixture of saying whatever the hell I want to say. Then, you know, he throws in a little bit of cliches and a lot of, you know, some of the stuff you look at it and you say, okay, he's definitely been trained well in front of the media. But, you know, all around, his press conferences are actually enjoyable, but it's hard to take him seriously when he's standing up there with his hair hanging off his face like that. Like, dude, come on, man. I'm trying real hard. But B. Austin, where do you base your whole notion of Kirk Cousins
at the bottom of the pile.
Kirk Cousins being a better quarterback. Because you know there's never – Kirk Cousins can go out there and light the world on fire. There's not going to be a quarterback controversy in D.C. At the most, they would secretly hope that RG3 isn't 100% yet so they can have an excuse. But if he can go, he's going no matter what.
You know what? I'm really just sending shots at the our Redskin listeners. I haven't seen enough of Kirk Cousins to really say that he is absolutely better than Robert Griffin. Me personally, I'm just opposed to the Friday Night Lights offense. And so, you know, when they put Kirk in the game, it seems like they went to a more traditional pro-style offense, and Kirk Cousins was able to run it to perfection. Like, he looked... He looked Andrew Luckish.
Casey Mack said that he thinks Cousins is trade bait. If Cousins plays well, then, you know.
I know. He definitely is.
Oh, yeah.
He's nothing but trade bait.
Yeah, dead on. Absolutely.
Because his name has started to float in circles. So, yeah, I mean, he's definitely trade bait. That's kind of a given. Like, whatever happens, even if he gets to play this season, you know, we already know RG3, this is his team for the next 10, 12 years. So,
yeah, I heard Kirk Cousins go somewhere and win a championship, get traded to the Broncos and win a chip list or something.
I hope he does.
That would be – I want to see what happens then.
As a rival fan, you know, as an objective analyst, you know, like I said, that's RG3's team. As a rival fan, I hope what Jimmy just said rings true. Hope he leaves and wins the championship. And RG3.
Speaking of quarterbacks, right? Let's talk about the hometown Eagles. They got about 37 quarterbacks on their roster. But
for who? For what?
Some of the questions are how Chip Kelly's offense will work in the league. You know, how he fares as an NFL coach, and how the quarterback situation will play out. Mike Vick says he's confident. But Chip Kelly said that every position's up in the air. Like, yo, you got to work for it, regardless of what the position is, including quarterback.
Mike Vick said he's confident, Jim. Last year he said it was a dynasty in Philly. I mean, does anybody listen to what Mike Vick says anymore? Seriously. No, but
well,
to your point,
Vicky does.
There's a lot of shout out to Vicky. There's a lot of Eagles fans that are very optimistic about Chip Kelly. You know, when the hire was made, I wasn't really optimistic. You know, the college thing, you know, it scares me a little bit. As a fan, I'm behind him 100%. You know, we get to see what he can do. But I think a lot of the stuff that he's saying, I think that's just new coach bravado. I think he has an idea of everything he wants to do this year, all the personnel. I truly think, even though I don't agree with what my sentiment is, I truly think that it's really a case of it's Mike Vick's job to lose, because I don't see why, you know, they would have kept him in the first place, you know, if he didn't have a great chance of being a starting quarterback again.
Man,
I think he just thinks he he thinks he fits his system. So why wouldn't it? Seriously, why wouldn't it be his job to lose? However, if you're going pure passer, you know, if you're going the other way with what you want your quarterback to do, if what you're going to do offensively doesn't have much to do with the feet and the read option and all that kind of stuff. I would personally think that, you know, Cole Foles would be the front runner, but I just don't think Chip Kelly is really thinking that way. I don't know, man. And then you got Barkley, who he claims is also in the mix. I hope Barkley is what they thought he was last
like
year.
Barkley. You see, my car, you'll never get these.
He could be a nice steal. He could be a fourth-round steal if he can play like he was projected to play his junior year when he would have been a top-three pick in the NFL draft. So that could be a steal.
Be Austin?
He's not immobile.
Oh, boy. So it
we got less than 10 minutes. Out. Come on.
My Philadelphia Eagles.
Damn,
man.
Yo,
dude.
I think that.
Yo, you want to say something?
Yeah, I think that. I think that when you look at this being a new system coming into, there's some excitement, there's some momentum behind it. I think that just like we've kind of settled upon, you've got a huge drop off between the elite and the very good teams and the rest of the league. I think the momentum and the sheer excitement is going to get us 6 to 7 wins. And then I believe that there's the possibility of us eking out another 1 to 2. Realistically, I have a 7 and 9. The best I think we can hope for is to flip that and to go 9 and 7. I think that the elite teams that we face are going to laugh at us and say, take that shit back to Oregon.
Sure.
And, yeah, that'll be that. I'm hoping the defense, you know, the defense shows me something. I'm really more excited about what
the language
about. I'm more excited about what's
family
going on
show,
the defense. Football.
Offensive,
so you're excited about them running
about
a 3-4 defense without 3-4 personnel?
Yeah.
Who going to play the outside linebackers? Brandon Graham and Trent Cole? I'm not excited about that.
I think it's time for us to move on. Austin sound like he's writing a suicide note right now. Yo,
yeah,
I think
cursing and everything.
He cussing. He talking all sad. Yo, man.
It's a family show.
I got a couple questions. What do you guys think about this? Just give me a yes or no answer, man. Do you think Geno Smith is going to be starting for the Jets this season?
Yes.
Yeah.
Not right off the bat, but eventually he will start.
Eventually?
They,
what about you, Austin?
They,
you think eventually he'll start?
The hook.
Yes.
Okay.
Week nine.
Okay.
Week nine, they're going to give up on Sanchez and Geno.
Now, here's the next
question.
They're going to
put him in the game.
Questions off. We got about 6 minutes left. I'm going to throw some questions out here about this upcoming season. What do you think about the Patriots? They were one of the favorites, but they lost a lot of weapons, and now they got all kinds of, you know, unwanted media attention.
Yo,
do you think they're going to have a successful season or what?
Hernandez going to be in the yard. Welker's gone. Yo, they lost like 5 weapons, man. They got receivers like
David
like
Givens,
Jake Ballard, and Shane Vereen that have to step in. I think just by the virtue of their division being so weak, they're still going to end up right there in the playoffs. I think that's when
mm-hmm.
the cream is going to rise to the top, and they're probably going to get their, you know, get bludgeoned when they face really good teams in the playoffs. But if you look at the luck of the draw and how football is, since it's one and done, they could eke there in a weak division and then get hot, get lucky in the postseason, and still be right back in the mix, you know, during the AFC Championship weekend. So it's
this
crazy
true.
That they have lost a lot of people. Yeah.
They got guys like Franklin Hatchett playing wide receiver. I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's definitely time to test that plug-and-play mentality. It's definitely time to test that.
Yeah, 10-6, all right, cool. All right, no doubt. All right, now.
First round bludgeoning.
What do you think about the quarterback situation with the Buffalo Bills?
I don't.
So,
who they got? Cobb. And
they got Corn on the. And they have the rookie as well. You know, the first pick, the first quarterback pick in the draft.
Yeah.
You think Corn is going to, you know.
I'm still a fan. I'm still kind of a supporter, not a fan, but I want to see Cobb play well, man, somewhere.
I've seen him play well. I mean, he was 4-1 at the helm of the Cardinals last year until he got hurt. He's fragile. He's going to get hurt, so I don't think there's much of a quarterback controversy in Buffalo because Cobb will just hold the job for 4 or 5 weeks until he gets hurt, and then the rookie will have to, you know.
See, that's the thing. That's why it's always a quarterback controversy. Because if you have somebody like if we take Jaws list, right? If you have somebody like, you know, past 15, it's like, and you have a rookie who was drafted in the first round, it's always going to be a controversy because people are like, mom, let him play, let him learn on the fly, as opposed to putting someone who you know is not going to win you a championship. But, you know, it is what it is.
So it's like EJ Manuel, in my opinion, is going to be the quarterback by default by week 5 after Cobb gets his brain rattled again. So, you know, if I was him, I would just look at it as Cobb holding my spot for me. I think Cobb will win the job. I think he'll win the job, but he won't finish it.
EJ Manuel reminds me of Warren Moon. Not the way he plays, but he just looked like the ball.
EJ Manuel reminds me of a player who got drafted too high.
Let's see what episode. We are 158. Let's save this in case EJ Manuel becomes that dude. Anyway.
I support that statement.
Yo, I have no comment, just in case.
Yo, even he was surprised when he got drafted that high. He was like, what?
Now, here's my last question I have to ask you, gentlemen. We spoke about Drew Brees and how we hold him in high regard as a player. Sean Payton is back. How do you think that will affect their entire team with, you know, getting their coach back in a fold?
One thing, it's definitely going to prove whether or not it was a factor last year or were they really just that bad. I think they'll improve because it wasn't just that coach. They lost assistant coaches for like 6-8 weeks. They lost their general manager. It was just their whole organization was just in a tizzy last year. So I think with everything back, I think they'll be back. Their division has gotten a little bit tougher. Well, at least on paper it has. Maybe only people they really, really have to contend with still is the Atlanta Falcons. But I think it'll make a difference. I think they may win 2 or 3 more games. 9-7 or 10-6 this season.
Okay, be awesome.
I got them 9-7. I think that there is going to be an improvement. You're going to see a difference. I think it's going to take him a full 2 seasons to kind of get over that and get back in the swing of things. But yeah, he will improve.
Yeah.
Play call.
I got one last question for y'all after you give your opinion, Jim. One last question before we roll.
Go ahead.
What quarterback do y'all think in the NFL has the most pressure on him to win the Super Bowl this year?
Colin Kaepernick.
Sir Kaepernick?
Okay.
Yep. They got so close
Peyton
last
Manning.
Year. I got Peyton Manning as well.
Peyton Manning.
I say Peyton because, you know, the whole thing with the, you know, coming over there last year, the expectations of the Broncos went way up. And the Broncos as a team kind of lived up to those expectations. They got as far as they did. I think everybody's going to expect them to finish the job now, especially since he doesn't have that much time left in this league. There's a lot of hype behind that. I say Peyton. But we got a Rizzo. So we'll get back on that topic next week.
True.
Yeah. This is absolutely true, man. I just want to say that, you know, if nothing else, Peyton Manning has pressure because if he doesn't come through and it's his fault in any way, you ain't seen nothing yet, B-Boston. That's all I'm going to say. Anyway, thanks for joining us again in the War Room, good people. Shout out to everybody in the chat room, those on Facebook, Twitter, all the calls called in. Sorry we couldn't get through to a lot of you. You know, we're trying to get this football talking. Tune in next week, same time, same place, for more NFL training camp discussions and everything else. We'll welcome back Shane Gray, who covers the St. Louis Rams for 101 ESPN in St. Louis, for his Rams training camp report. Until then, enjoy your sports week, and we'll see you right back here next time. Be sure to catch our conversations, Facebook, Twitter, all over the internet and watch our videos on WarRoomSportsTV.com. Until next time, everybody, don't accept mediocrity and be steadfast in the war against ignorance. Don't forget to download those mobile apps, iOS as well as Android, and we'll see you chumps on top.
Hey.
Stay in tune to Jimmy, know the blueprint.
Yo,
every Thursday, 6 to 8, they do this. Shout out to Dez, PJ.
BAuthin.bay on replay. WarRoomSports.com. Get that mobile app. It's not dialed.
Call it
323-14-0012. If you're going and you're sensitive, then oh well.
Yeah.
Physical podcast, the tough push. Showtime like magic in the block push.
Magic.
Listen live, push one to join in. Rip your team or listen for your enjoyment. Hip hop dollars, pit stop and knowledge. Should be in sports credits, I ain't talking college. Five guys, no beef though. Corporate secret, but the streets know. Belafonte, I got a G flow. KC, royalty, I'm in beast mode. 2 hours, get your game up. Who's the best in sports cast? You better name us. War Room Sports.
War Room Sports, www.warroomsports.com. What? Ain't no more to it.